warning. This podcast may contain spoilers from whatever TV show or movie is mentioned. Please listen at your own discretion. Welcome to Viewers Anonymous.
Yo, what's going on? I am Scoops Bronson.
And I am S. Foster.
That's right. You're tuned into another episode of the Viewers Anonymous podcast, where we give you our very own reviews and takes of movies and TV straight out of Hollywood. Brother man. It's been one hell of a week. You know what I'm saying? A lot has been going on. I don't know if you've been keeping up in the pod spaces lately, but it's been pod wars everywhere. You know what I'm saying? I've been trying to, keep up with that shit. Spring break for us is up here in Ohio is, going on right now. So I was with my boys all week. Man, listen, it's some shit. But we got to get into this right now. We've lost one of the greats in the film industry. Excuse me. He is not only just, a great actor, but an activist. He has been around for a while, and it's only right that, we properly do our due diligence and send our condolences, give our flowers to the great Lou Gossett Jr.
Yeah, man. Sad news. He's a guy who, he's one of those guys where you hear about some of the things that he done, and we just realize like he's just a flat out good dude. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he's also one of those dudes who didn't really fit the Hollywood criteria. He just kind of beat it on his own drum, and I think that's the reason why, as far as like lead roles and like stuff like that. Like, a lot of his films didn't, as far as him being like a lead, didn't mm-hmm. really, have like box office success and things like that. Right. But, we were talking about him earlier, just in the fact of like, when, first of all, when you see him, he always makes an impact. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's number one. But like, I felt like a lot of the roles that he done, don't it seem like they were like meaningful? Like it don't seem like he like did a role just to do it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Do you kind of feel the same way? I feel like a lot of his stuff, when you look at his IMDb, it was like his movies like had a purpose.
Or if it wasn't just purpose, it was that, like you can tell he handpicks his roles. He's not taking the role that's gonna make him him look foolish, but not just foolish, he's always trying to portray some type of positive image as much as he possibly could. I mean, over 200 roles acting is crazy. We talk about the likes of Sam Jackson, like the greats in that era, in that area, but 200 roles, on film and television. He was an actor, producer, director. He also was, like I said, he was a social activist. He was an educator, an author. I mean, he's done a lot of things. He had 28 nominations for awards, 19 he won. He got an Oscar for Best Actor in a Supporting Role. What was that in? For Officer and a Gentleman in 1982. Various Emmy Awards. Like he's been around. He's been doing his thing. It's sad to find out that somebody, so involved and so great, didn't really get the love that they deserve, as far as getting those main roles, getting those starting roles and being the lead actor in movies and stuff like that. But I can tell you this though, he's not short of, that shit in TV, because he's been in some shit. He's been in a lot of different television roles, being a lead. So once again, prayers, condolences to the family and friends, and rest in peace to Lou Gossett Jr.
Yes, sir. Rest in peace.
And so from there, man, we get into our favorite segment of the show. That is where, you know what I'm saying, we give you extra things to, you know, go watch with, you know what I'm saying, what we cover in the show. You could look at this kind of like our trailers before the feature presentation. This is what we're watching. You ready?
Yes, sir.
What we watching?
What we watching?
All right, my man, what you got, bro?
All right, man. So this is one of those situations where, you know, when there's like a movie that's like, that's monumental to, you know what I'm saying, a certain group of people. And it's like one of those things where, you know, when you see like those, you know, let me see if you black type of things. And it's like, yeah. Like, it, yeah, that's one of the movies that be in there. And the thing about it is it's one of those situations like, you know, one of your situations where it's like you've seen bits and pieces, but you never start to finish. And so I watched it start to finish, and the movie I'm talking about came out in 1997, Love Jones. Like, it just occurred to me. I was like, yo, I've never seen it start to finish. Like, I'm talking about, like, when I seen, like, the pieces of Love Jones back in, you know, regular cable days where, you know, mm-hmm. you would see it on. It's like, all right, you just catch it from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I've never seen it all the way through. So, I went back.
In high school.
Yo, man, what damn black school you went to, man?
I'm just being honest. I'm gonna tell you why.
So y'all watched. Hold on, wait a minute. Hold on. Pause this. So y'all watched Love Jones.
Yes.
But y'all didn't watch Gone with the Wind.
Fuck no.
Yo, what? What ghetto school you went to, man?
I went to public school, man. Listen, so let me tell you why Love Jones is a movie we watch. Because Love Jones is about poetry.
I mean, so, it is.
So we had this like moment in high school. I think it was like senior year. We had this moment in high school where I don't know if y'all ever did it. Or if y'all, like, because I know it was still going on around the time, but I don't know if y'all ever did this or had to participate in it. But in our English class, our English teacher, Ms. Davis, she made us participate in the Martin Luther King National Poetry Contest.
Okay.
And so because that was something that we were on at the time, like, we were learning about, like, prose. We were learning about haikus, you know what I'm saying? Like, we was into, like, the whole poetry thing at the time. And so we all submitted a poem, and I got honorable mention. So in my honorable mention, me and, like, a bunch of other people, like, we just got into this whole poetry thing. And I don't know if you remember around, like, 2006, 2007, like, poetry slams was, like, started to become, like, a huge thing. So, Russell Simmons came out with Deaf Poetry Jam. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. So we watched that in school, and we watched Love Jones.
Yo, that's crazy.
No bullshit, bro. I promise you. Yeah, that was why though, because it was like the whole poetry phase of our school lesson or whatever. So like, that was her whole thing. She wanted us to get, like, really into it. So she felt like if we seen, you know what I'm saying, like, the cool people do it, we'd be into it too. Which was funny because we actually did get into it.
That is hilarious. it's just wild to me. Now, I mean, okay, poetry, okay, I get it. But it's just mm-hmm. like, yo, like, really? Like, I mean, dude, it took us, like, a whole week to watch Gone with the Wind, because that shit is 3 hours and like 45 minutes. Like, but it was history, war, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's why we watched it. I mean, yeah, a lot of that. You know, because I'm telling you, it didn't really occur to me in school till, and you can make fun of me all you want, because I watched Gone with the Wind like out of school.
Yeah.
And like, it was just like, yo. And I'm going to tell you what it is. My biggest issue with the reason why I had fucked with it in school was only because Scarlett O'Hara was fine as fuck. That was it. I was just like, yo, she got on my nerves. She was annoying as fuck.
What was the lady who won the Oscar off that? Hattie McDaniel? Hattie Mae Daniels or something like that?
Yeah, it was one. I think it was Hattie Mae. I think it was more Hattie Mae. Yeah, the lady that won the Oscar for the maid.
Playing Maddie.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, like in 1939 or some shit like that. Like,
that's what I'm saying. That's crazy. That's
just, yeah, that is crazy. But she did her thing, though.
I mean, she got the Oscar.
She did her thing. Yeah.
And at that time, getting Oscars.
Yeah. I don't even know if she was even there. She might not even been invited.
No, she definitely wasn't there. I can tell you, in 1939, she was not there. She was not there. I can tell you that right now. And if that's like, they could hold a benefit for you and you'd still have to enter the back door.
Oh yeah, that's what they did to Jesse Owens, man.
You see what I'm saying?
That's the question. It's the question.
That nigga, won gold medals, nigga. He's a world-renowned athlete. So yeah.
Yo, listen. I don't know if you ever seen the movie Race, but so this motherfucker, they had a dinner for him. Mm-hmm. His name was outside and everything. My man walked up with his coach and his wife and tried to go in. And they was like, man, you know, it's great to see you. Yeah, but you got to go through the kitchen.
Yeah.
And the coach was like, this place is honoring him. He's like, yeah, but this place still got rules and you got to go through the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, you know, I seen Race, though. Come on, man, with the
Old
State.
Yeah, man, there you go, man.
What are you talking about?
Man, what you watch, man? What you watch?
Hey, listen, I got a theory, bro. I got a wild theory, bro.
Oh,
all
shit.
Of the greatest athletes come from Ohio.
That theory is wrong, but okay. Ohio
in one way or the other. I'm just saying. But, so I watched the new Willy Wonka with Timothy Chalamet.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That was my that's the movie that I watched. It's interesting because it's a musical, and it's like him early on. Like he don't even got the Wonka factor yet. But you know what I'm saying? Like he's still like into making chocolates and all this other things. Well, really mainly chocolates. But you know what I'm saying, he basically beefing with, you know what I'm saying, the three main chocolatiers. They got this whole crime ring with the chocolate and shit. It's a wild ass beginning for Willy Wonka, but it's very interesting. It's a very good movie. Timothy Chalamet do his thing. It's a lot of singing and dancing and shit, like, you know what I'm saying, just like Willy Wonka is. But it was a good movie. It was a pretty good movie. I was thoroughly impressed with that movie. And you know what I'm saying, the Oompa Loompas, man, it ain't a lot of them. It's only one in this movie. But when you see him, you understand why eventually the Oompa Loompas fuck Willy Wonka. So yeah, it was a good movie though. I fuck with it heavy, man.
Okay.
So now that we got that out the way, man, listen, it's that time, man. You know what I'm saying? It's that time, man.
Look, hold on. Before you start, man, I gotta say this. Man. I gotta say this because for the people who don't know, like I said, I mentioned it on the last episode we did, right? Yeah. And I told the people, I was like, look, I've done an episode on this on 28 Minutes Less, right? So this is the first time where an episode was done on there, going to be done on here. And, like, this is going to be completely different. But, like the excitement that I have and had for The Sopranos, right? Because, yeah. See, the thing is, I'm on a pod by myself, hype.
Right.
But now I can share it, because it's like now that you've seen it,
yeah,
and you, and I feel like from your reaction, you know what I'm saying, you feel it.
Absolutely, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely.
Because yo, this shit, man, I've told you before, like I watched this Sopranos movie, damn movie. I watched this show 2 times, all 6 seasons, mm-hmm. in the span of like 8 months. I was like so, but what I mean is I finished it the first time after I watched The Many Saints of Newark. So I watched the prequel first and then I watched the show, and it took me like less than 2 months to watch the whole thing. Then yeah. I turned around again 6, 7, 8 months later and watched it again. Mm-hmm. I was so into The Sopranos, but I was dreaming about Tony Soprano, my guy.
That's
cool. I'm talking about, yo, I was in this shit heavy. And like, I've been so excited on doing this, man, because I wanted to be able to share this excitement with somebody.
Yeah.
So sorry, I had to get that out, man.
Now, but, do you think, hey man, listen, I get it. Okay. I get it. You know what I'm saying? No Drake pun there. So this is, let me see, when did The Sopranos start? 1999.
Right? Hey, that's another 99 theory.
Absolutely. But this is around the time that HBO is killing the shows. You know what I'm saying? The Wire, Oz, I'm trying to think what else. They had a bunch of like comedy shows around the time.
Yeah.
The 90s was real big for HBO and TV series. I think the Ali G show was out like around this time. It was a bunch of different things, and people were still like doing comedy. Like HBO was the place to go if you wanted to get like a stand-up special or anything else. So like, this is HBO is like top dog. Like Showtime is cool. Cinemax is cool. They ain't merged yet, so Cinemax is cool. You know what I'm saying? You had other ones here and there. You had like Stars popping in, but HBO was like at the top of the charts. Like you had to pay probably the most to get HBO when you had cable around this time. Cable is still a thing. You still had cable boxes. So, excuse me. This is a very different time in television. And when you watch this show, you realize how different of a time this is, right? Because mm-hmm. what's funny is like when you see when you go back and you see the cell phones or you hear the music, and you know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, this shit is throwback for sure. So in 1999, I am, I think, 11. Yeah, I'm like 11 going on 12. I'm 11.
Was 14.
Okay, so I wasn't watching The Sopranos like that. I can tell you that right now. I had no interest in The Sopranos whatsoever. But this is what people also have to realize. If you are listening to this podcast, you also have to realize that there was no social media except for MySpace.
You know, but MySpace, but even MySpace didn't come out to like 2005-ish, 2004, somewhere around
exactly.
there.
Exactly. So, like, well, you might have had like Facebook, Black Planet, stuff like that, but it's not the Facebook of today. I can tell you that right now. It ain't the Facebook of today, because I think that's when it was for college kids at the time.
Yeah, because when I first got Facebook, it was 2006, and that's when I first got my college email. You had to have a college email to get it.
Exactly. So, in 1999, there is no social media. Like, the internet just came out 3 years ago for everybody. So keep that in mind. You couldn't get on. It's so crazy to think about this, because you couldn't get on the internet without, you know what I'm saying, using the phone, basically. Basically,
yeah,
your phone line was your internet line. Yep. Yeah, dial up. Like, people were still using desktops. It wasn't really a lot of laptops being used for real. Like, it was a different time. So to go back and see this, and you know what I'm saying, to see all of these people in such younger faces, you know what I'm saying, James Gandolfini, you know, looking, I mean, super, super young. You know what I'm saying? Who else? Michael and Paroli, like super young. It's a bunch of people, right? And then, but just to know that all of this is pretty much just about this family. And this is the dope thing about this show. This isn't about the mafia. This ain't about the shit going on in the mafia. None of that. That's really the side story of the actual shit that's supposed to be going on. This movie is about, I keep saying movie. This show is literally about the Sopranos, the Soprano family. And the dad just so happens to be, you know what I'm saying, the crime boss of New Jersey, or a crime boss of New Jersey, because he ain't the actual crime boss. He's a crime boss of New Jersey. The mom is just, you know what I'm saying, the wife of a crime boss. And then you got two kids who are children of a crime boss. And they're all maneuvering around basically him. So when I watched this, you know what I'm saying, going into it fresh, never had really seen, you know what I'm saying, any of this shit before, I didn't know what to expect. And as I'm watching it, the more and more I'm watching it, I'm realizing, like, as the seasons go on, this shit ain't about the mafia, which it shows a lot of mafia shit, but that's not what it's about. It's really about Tony Soprano and his family, which the first episode gives you a clear indicator that's really what it is, because it starts off with him in therapy. Yeah. He's talking to his therapist, which is another crazy thing, because at that time, people wasn't doing therapy. You only did therapy because people thought you was crazy. So,
And from this show, people thought you was weak, and that's why he tried to hide it.
Well, yeah, for him, for sure, people was going to think he was weak, because at the time, since, you know what I'm saying, they had a stigma attached to it, mm-hmm. It's a lot of shit in this show that the stigma really fucked people up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But we'll get into that shit later on, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Vito. So, you know what I'm saying, you watched this multiple times, you've seen the movie. First and foremost, what excited you the most about this?
What excited me the most about it was, first of all, the whole, because I didn't really watch this until, 2021? Mm-hmm. So, like, we living in a different world now. Right. You know what I mean? And it's like, and for this show to start off with him in therapy, it's like, damn, like a crime boss being in therapy, like that, like, and just the fact of like him having anxiety and shit, and, mm-hmm. you know, and having his episodes and things. But I think that as far as a show, I personally think Tony Soprano is the most interesting character in a show that I've ever seen before.
Okay, tell me why.
Because like there's so many dynamics in between him. He's Tony Soprano is a lot of things. Like he's an asshole, but he's also caring at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, he got a short temper, but, you know what I'm saying? But he'll do, like, a nice deed. But then, like, it's just that he's really, in a way, sort of bipolar in a way. Because, like, he can shift on you at any moment. And to the point where it's like, you never know, like, what he's going to do, when he's going to flip out, and all this type of shit. I just think that his character is so, and now I understand why he went through what he went through, because there was a situation where, as far as real life, James Gandolfini, where mm-hmm. he had to be, you know what I'm saying, had to be sat down and hospitalized for a minute, yeah. because they said he was so, he literally thought he was Tony Soprano. Like, he mm-hmm. basically was method acting in real life, like, yeah. thinking that he's Tony Soprano. And I could see how that could happen. Like, when you watch this, and you can see how you know what I'm saying, how this role just kind of engulfed him. And you can see how when you play this person from 1999 to 2007, you can see how that, you know what I'm saying, how he could get so engulfed in it. And then to think that he dies in 2013, it's like, what, 5 years later?
Yep.
So it's like, I'm not saying they got anything that is related. I think it was some kind of illness. Not illness, yeah, but
it was a heart. It was someone's heart or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, something. It was something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just think that he's just so interesting, man. And then, like, this is another one of those situations where, like, I could not see anybody else playing Tony Soprano. Like, I don't see anybody other than James Gandolfini really knocking this shit out of the park. It's like it's hard for me to really put it in words on explaining why I feel that he's one of the most intriguing, you know, characters that I've seen in a TV show, because with the way that this show goes, as far as, like you said, like, this is a family man who is also a crime boss, but this is what you got to understand about Tony Soprano, is the fact that the people that he leaked. And I think that's something that's not talked about a lot. Because the thing with Tony that you realize, especially if you watch The Many Saints of Newark, because The Many Saints of Newark, like, it starts out, Tony Soprano's like 8 or 9 or something like that. But then it goes, his son actually plays the teenage version of him, but he's like 15, 16, you know, 17 years old.
Yeah.
And, but what you realize is, and also from that show, well, also, for, excuse me, from that movie, you understand why he is the way he is with Christopher. Because in The Many Saints of Newark, so you got the Sopranos and you got the Montesantis. Now they are the two families that run everything, and the person that Tony was the closest with, even over his dad, was his Uncle Dickie, and Uncle Dickie was Christopher's father. So he was super close with him. But the thing with Dickie, though, was Dickie, and even these two families, man, they're like, they really fucked up families. And the thing with Christopher is, there was a scene in the movie where Tony's dad first get out of jail, because he got locked up. They talk about it in the show when they was at the poker game or whatever. So when he got locked up, he got 5 years, right? So when he gets out, they're throwing him a little party. And at the party, Dickie brought the baby down. Well, the mom brought it down, and Dickie started holding it. And then they get close to Tony. And Tony's trying to, like, you know, he's like, hey, Christopher, you know, try to hold him. And he cries. And he was like, yo, I don't know why he does that. He always cries, you know, when it comes to me. So this old lady sitting there, had to be somebody's grandma. And she was like, babies know. She was like, babies know there's something, you know, about a person. They just got a sense about a person. Then you understand, like, why he would always give Christopher so many chances. But at the same time, what that scene told me was, Christopher knew at some point, this dude's going to do something to me. And as you can see,
he deserved it, though.
He did. He did, because he was too always strung up on drugs and shit. Like, Christopher fucked up a lot. But with the Uncle Dickie, I know you said you haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but once you watch it, you will understand why Tony gave him so many chances, because Dickie had to end up cutting him off because there was so much tragedy in Dickie's life. Like, basically that situation where everybody around you, everybody you care about, dies.
Which is very interesting, because that's the whole premise of season 6.
Exactly. And so he's like, he told his Dickie's uncle end up telling him, the people that you care about, you just basically need to distance yourself. Mm-hmm. And so Tony, he distanced himself from Tony. And it fucking crushed him. Mm-hmm. And that whole relationship with Tony and Christopher that we see, you know what I'm saying, went through so many phases. But anyway, I'm sorry, I'm digressing. I know I'm doing a lot of talking. But one last thing. So when it comes to Tony jumping people, the thing mm-hmm. is, like I said, we see like Silvio, Pauly, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Pussy. All of these dudes are grown, mm-hmm. right? So, and the main person, Junior, this is the thing about Junior, dude. Junior is the oldest Soprano.
Right.
But Tony's father was the man.
Yeah.
Over his big brother.
Yeah.
Right? So then you come into the show where Tony's the boss. So these dudes that looked at him as a snotty nose is taking, you know what I'm saying, taking orders from him. But even Junior.
That's the gang. See, okay, so listen, this is what I also found interesting about this show, is that it really kind of gives you a real insight into, like, mafia, right? And at the end of the day, like, mafia, gangs, all of that shit is the same thing, right? Like, imagine being a Hoover Crip and you 45 and the nigga you gotta take orders from is 30. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you got to do it. That's the game, right? And so, especially with this show, like, what's interesting is, in the beginning, they talked a lot about the families and, you know what I'm saying, bringing people in and, you know, making people, like, Christopher kept trying to force being a made man. Like, yo, when am I going to be made? Like, what's up? And I think that because Tony seemed to be super level-headed, he seemed to have already put in enough work and do, you know what I'm saying, everything that he was supposed to do, he fit the criteria to be the top dog, right? To be the man, to be the boss. And you could tell, like, when shit went down, you didn't want him to get involved. You would rather somebody else do the shit, because it seemed like with his temper and, you know what I'm saying, his anger, like, if he got his hands on you, you was fucked up. You know what I mean? Even with the way that they talk about Tony when he not there, or the way they react to him when he get mad, you can tell, like, he done did some shit. He done did some damage. He done put in some work. And so, like, when you have that type of respect for him, or when you see them have that type of respect for him, you understand why he's up there, right? Like, when you seen Junior say little shit here and there, like, Chris was talking crazy to Junior. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody gave a fuck. Like, niggas was, it was a lot of moments in this show where niggas was talking back to, like, the captains and shit like that. And you was like, okay, I get why Tony is at the top now. Because when Tony said some shit, niggas was like, all right. And they got to, you know what I'm saying? The one, what's the one dude's name that was trying to go to Florida?
What
was his name? He was trying to go to Florida. Him and his wife was trying, he was trying to retire. He asked And Tony was like, I think about it. And so him and his wife was, you know, I think, like, his grandma died or his mom died or somebody. And he had ended up getting, like, an inheritance of $2 million. So he, like, shit, I got a nice little chunk of change. I want to, you know what I'm saying, take me and my family, get them out of here. Remember, his son was on drugs. So he trying to get them away from everything that was going on around there. And I think at this time, Christopher was made. I think by this time, Christopher had became made already. And so Christopher is sitting there, dude went to go buy lunch for everybody. And he like, yeah, you know, I heard about, you know what I'm saying, a thing in Florida, da da da. He was like, go do this, and then I talked to Tony and put in a good word for you. But like, even then, you could tell dude was like 15 years older than Christopher. But even when Christopher had said something, he was like, yeah, I got to run it by my captain. And he was like, what the fuck you mean? And I'm a captain too? And he was like, yeah, yeah, I got it. So it was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if Tony was to be like, hey, go do such and such and such, it wouldn't be no issue. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I think that's a very interesting concept that you bring up, the fact that he's so much younger and he's jumped so many people. And then, to be honest with you, man, with Junior, he never was going to get that spot.
But this is the thing. You haven't seen him in the Saints of Newark, though, and you would understand.
I haven't. I'm just talking about just from the show.
Yeah, just from what you're seeing here. Like, yeah, it explains a little more.
He should never. First and foremost, he was already 90 when the show started. He was already old as fuck. Like, a lot of them niggas, like, no, seriously, a lot of them niggas was just old as fuck. And to me, I think, like, especially when you're talking about something like that, like, yeah, give it to a younger person. Don't give it to one of these old head motherfuckers who been around this shit for the longest and all this other shit. And then when they finally get it, they fucking shit up. They still trying to keep shit a certain way. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't know how to modernize nothing. Like, put it like this, with the what was the one project, the how you say that shit? Oh my god, the Gaffendale, fuck, how do you say that shit? It's whatever the big project was that they was all talking about with the construction and all that. Mm-hmm. They would have never respected Junior on that situation. They would have overcut him every chance they got.
Yeah, but the problem is nobody never respected Junior. See, that's the thing with Junior. Like, there's a scene in Many Saints in Newark where Junior went to go pick up his brother when he got out of jail, right? So they turned it down that block. And as you can see from the show, which, I mean, this is just one of those unfortunate things when you watch a lot of the mafia movies, they never mm-hmm. fuck with black people. So yeah. They're going down the road and
Goombas or fucking Mouillons or fucking, you know, eggplants and shit like that.
Yeah. So they look, my man looked to the right. And he's like, yo, that's such and such house. And he was like, man, he was like, when did like niggas moving to the neighborhood? And he was like, oh, you know, it's a new time. Junior's like, it's a new time now. And he's like, hey, look at Junior. How the fuck did you let this happen? On my block. You know, he was like expecting Junior to like, not let no black people move in the neighborhood. You run everything. But like Junior always never fulfilled the shoes that he was supposed to quote unquote fill.
So that's what I'm saying. Perfect example, right? Junior is in Tony's position in this show. Okay. The episode where Tony gets shot and he's in the hospital. He comes out of the coma or whatever, and he was talking to, who was that? I think it was Paulie. Him and Paulie was walking up. No, not Paulie. Bobby was there. Bobby was there first. And he was talking to whoever Tretch was playing at the time. And Tretch was like, Tretch was supposed to be like,
when he wanted to shoot him in the ass. When he wanted to get shot, he shot him in his ass.
Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, they do that scene or whatever, and then Polly go up there to get them, and then they walking down or whatever, and I think this was around the time Polly found out that his mom, his aunt, and his aunt was his mom, and she had just died or whatever. So yeah, okay, so that time, so remember they were sitting in the hallway, and he was talking to one of the older dudes, and the older dude was like, I got a sinus infection, blah blah blah, and they was rolling the one dude, I forgot what his name was, but dude from what's that group called? Damn, I can't think of the group now. Whatever. So basically, he was talking to Tony, and he was like, yo, Tony was like, yo, thanks for giving my son that CD, blah blah blah. You know what I'm saying? Like, Junior wouldn't have been a conversation that Junior would have had with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, Junior would have probably been on some snob shit and I don't fuck with niggas type shit. But because Tony is, you know what I'm saying, Tony understand what's going on out here. Like, Tony able to move around out here. He gets it. Like, yo, shit changes. So sometimes you gotta, like you said, he has this duality about him to where, nigga, sometimes you gotta mix in with other people that you don't normally mix in with to get the job done. And I think that's what makes him such an interesting character, is the fact that he's willing to go as far as it takes to get the job done, to where nobody else is going to do that. And that's what makes him such a great crime boss. Like, that's what makes him, you know what I'm saying, like, that guy, is the fact that, yeah, you know, I can show you, you know what I'm saying, a kinder, gentler side, or I can really beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, but I think Junior is a person who, I think the fate that ended up happening to him was kind of, what do you call it, karma in a way. Because Junior, first of all, Junior was a hater, but I understand to a certain degree why he was, because he was jumped so basically two times. You know, he was jumped by his little brother, and then he was jumped by his nephew. But he's a shiesty dude. I didn't want to reveal this. I mean, but you're a type of person, you'll watch it anyway. If you want to watch something, you'll watch it.
Yeah.
Like, when you see Many Saints of Newark, you understand and you get the type of person that Junior is. So they went to they was at a funeral, and it's raining. Junior go to walk out, slip on the steps and hurt his back, right? So Dickie, like, laughing his ass off, right? So he's pissed off. Now, it's not just the fact that he slipped on his own accord,
right?
But he's pissed because Dickie's laughing at him.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know what I'm saying? He got this big ass back brace thing on. So he's at his girl house, whatever. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to smash. He's on top, but with this back brace on, his back hurting, he can't. So she was like, lay down, let me get on top. So she tried to get on top, still painful. You know what this motherfucker says? Man, that fucking Dickie. And she's like, Dickie didn't make you fall. And he's like, well, he got a good laugh out of it. And she was like, you just making an excuse not to fuck, right? So fast forward. Dickie, I ain't gonna set the whole scene up, but Dickie gets shot. Phone call is made. Job is done. Go to the other line. Junior. Fucking Junior.
So Junior got Dickie killed?
Yes.
And Tony knew.
And it's like,
Wait a minute. No, I gotta watch this now, because this shit is crazy. Okay, so Junior get Dickie killed, right?
Yeah.
Now, this whole time, Christopher been trying to figure out who killed his fucking dad. And in that one episode, Tony was trying to do something nice for Christopher and was like, yo, this might be the dude that killed. He was real vague.
Yeah, he put it on his cop.
Yeah, he was real vague about it, but he was trying to, you know what I'm saying? He was trying to basically let him know, like, you know, your dad, you know, he was a good guy, like, and then this cop, you know, he just, and so basically all that shit was made up.
Yes.
That's fucking crazy.
All that shit was made up. So
another thing about this shit, bro, real quick. I'm sorry. Another thing, because you brought this cop up. All of these niggas was rats.
Yeah, because Tony met with the one FBI dude all the fucking time.
That's different. No, that's different. I understand why he met with him. Because, nigga, you got to keep them niggas on the on your tab. Like, that's the whole purpose.
Yeah. That's the only way you can keep a criminal enterprise going.
Because they whole thing was, you give me information about the other families, I give you information that you need. So that I understand. That's just smart business. No, I'm talking about these niggas was rats. I forgot who the one nigga was that they...
Pussy. He was killed on the boat.
He deserved it. The one Speedo, in the cop's car.
Yeah.
And they would
know
his funeral, and they didn't know. Because remember, they were talking about how great of a guy he was and how cool he was. And he was, you know, he was such a stand-up guy and all that shit. This nigga died in the car of the cop while he was giving him the tape of Tony.
Yeah.
That shit was crazy. She was so salty, bro. He was like, yeah, you know, she said, if you can't understand this shit, I even testify. Next thing you know, this nigga croak over. She like, man, fuck. Like, I'm like, hey, that shit was wild, bro.
Yeah, that was wild. And like, even Ariana, who I hated to see leave the show. You know what I'm saying?
But she had to get up out of there, bro.
Yeah, because she was just too reckless. She wasn't. They were just a toxic couple. Like, throughout the whole show, they was fucking toxic together. Yeah. And all he did would be the ass. But her mom was always right. Like, her mom been trying to tell her ass to leave Christopher alone forever, and she just could not leave him. And then her ass gonna go be friends with not one, but two fucking FBI agents. Like, what the fuck?
The wild shit, though, bro, is the fact that these niggas had opportunities to really, like, bring some shit to the table, like, with Christopher. I think he was so caught up in himself, and he was so worried about, like, trying to be the man and trying to put this image out that he didn't even realize the shit that he could have brought to the table, how much money he could have brought to the table for them if he'd have just took that Hollywood shit and got them in that. He tried to toward the end.
Yeah, with Cleaver.
But that it was too late by then. Like, when he first was doing it, like when John Favreau was in there, him and John Favreau and all that, like, yo, that was their way in, like, to some real money.
Yeah, because at that time, like, you know what I'm saying? Goodfellas had already came out. Casino had already came out. Exactly. These movies are blockbuster movies, and like these stories. Because like the thing about Tony's life is a movie. Literally. You know what I'm saying? And Christopher knew that. And then, you know what I'm saying? You could see, oh, what's her name? She got pissed off Carmella, because there was a scene where, you know what I'm saying, Tony was with this other girl, and it was literally exactly the way that shit played out. And she saw it, and she knew it.
Yeah,
and Tony was like, "Oh man, you know, it's just a movie." And she's like, "Nah, motherfucker. Like, I know that one guy is you, and I know you got." And that's the one thing about like how these women have to just basically accept the fact of like, "Yo, like, you know what I mean? He's gonna have like his girlfriend. Like, all these mafia dudes got like the girlfriend."
Because this is the thing, right? Tony had a nice ass setup, man. He had a down-ass girl that knew everything that was going on, didn't give a fuck about none of that shit. She was with it. He had two... Now, I will say this. His kids was fucking pricks. He had two prick-ass kids. Meadow, in them early seasons, man, I hated her character, bro. Her character shit. Her and Anthony switched roles somehow. I don't know how they did that, pull that off, but that was genius. But... yeah, she was like, she was an asshole in the like first couple seasons, bro. When they fucked up her grandma's house, oh my god, bro. I'm like, why the fuck would you throw a party there? First and foremost, this is the thing. You have to understand who you are. You Tony Soprano's daughter.
Yes.
And it ain't no, oh, she didn't know type shit. Because everywhere you go, niggas know that you're Tony Soprano's fucking daughter, bro. Like,
exactly.
Come on, man. You just out here wilding. Like, nigga, if the fucking cops come and see you and then your dad pop up, you should know what the fuck is going on. Because everybody else is going to jail. You are going home.
But I think she ended up, and I think that's why they switched. Because she ended up getting the understanding of knowing, oh, now I understand what and who my dad is. And then AJ, all of a sudden, he started getting fucking depressed.
Identity crisis.
Well, what it is.
Identity crisis.
No, what fucked him up was when he was dating the fucking Latino girl and she broke his heart. That's when that shit switched. That's when AJ.
That nigga always had an identity crisis, bro.
He did. But
because remember when he was younger and they was at the school or whatever, and he had got into the fight, and then after that he just kept constantly getting in trouble, so they was about to send him to the military school. And once he got to the military school, he seen himself in the uniform, he didn't want to leave, nigga just start crying.
Well, I mean, you know, Anthony was a crier. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, the nigga, the nigga had an identity crisis, bro. And then I think as he got older, especially like him not being a part of what was going on, you know what I'm saying? I think that was a huge thing too. Because remember when Tony had got shot, he has got off the elevator with Meadow, and Christopher and I think it was Bobby, they stopped him in the hallway and was like, "Yo, what the fuck is you doing trying to buy a fucking gun?" As if nobody's gonna know who the fuck you are and what you're doing. Like, nigga, you literally would have to go to like fucking Indiana to go buy a gun and nobody know. Like, nigga, anywhere in that area, everybody's gonna know who the fuck you are, bro. You can't go to Philly and do it. You can't go to New York and do it. You can't go to Connecticut and do it. You can't go to none of these places. You literally got to go somewhere else, bro, because everybody knows who you are. And they like, yo, what the fuck is that? Then he get in there and get mad, talk about, you know, y'all want me to bring coats and do all this other shit, but when it comes to the big shit, y'all want me to do nothing. What the fuck are you going to do? You going to go kill Uncle Junior? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I think what pissed Tony off the most was just the fact of, like, I think he looked at, you know, who his dad was and the boss that he became. He's looking at AJ like, oh, well, this is going to be the person to take this shit over when I can't do it anymore. And he looked at him.
I don't think so.
Dude, I think he looked at him and was like, yo, how the fuck can this be my offspring?
No, I think that Tony looked at AJ and wanted him far away from that shit as possible. And I think
he wanted Meadow far away from it as possible.
Her too. But I think he also wanted AJ as far away from it as possible, because remember, when he had got into the fight, he got expelled or suspended or something like that. And Tony was like, yo, like, what the fuck are you doing? You gonna miss the big game. You fucking up your football career. Like, he was trying to get him into everything else except, in, you know what I'm saying, like, everything away from that lifestyle. And I was like, yo, that's, you could tell, like, he didn't want them involved in that shit at all. Well, yeah, no, nah, I can't really necessarily say Meadow either, because every boyfriend Meadow seemed to had something to do with their lifestyle.
Well, except the one that she met in college.
Was that? That was
the last one? Yeah, that was the last one. Yeah, that was the one where Tony really didn't like that dude.
Because his dad was the lawyer. I mean, no, he was supposed to be like a lawyer or something, right?
I think, yeah, because I think that's when she switched up. Because remember, she wanted to go to med school, and then she switched up to the law shit, and I think it was because the dude was on the law shit too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she had switched up. But also, I think the football thing with AJ is the fact of, like, Tony went through the same shit where he played football in fucking high school and shit. I think he just kind of wanted, you know what I'm saying, to live that dream through him.
Yeah.
But AJ just wasn't really built that way. All I mean is, like, I'm not saying that you're wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that I think he still looked at him like, damn, like, this is my offspring. Because AJ was so, and I think that it's that whole thing of, like, this isn't always the case, but when you look at, you know, some of these athletes, you know, we're starting to see a lot of juniors and stuff like that, because we're at that age now where we've seen the fathers play or the uncles or whatever, and now we're seeing the sons or the nephews or whatever play. But, like, it ain't always the case. Like, these motherfuckers be having, like, this is the thing I don't think people be understanding. Like, some of these NBA and NFL players be having 5, 6, 7, 8 kids and shit. Mm-hmm. You only be hearing about one or two that be kind of.
Yeah, we've seen Michael Jordan's kids. We know how that goes.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, and I think what it is when once that first person, a lot of the time, they were hungry. And it was like, yo, I got to get out. They get out, they break through. And now your kids is living this life and this lifestyle. Yeah. You're softening them, but you don't know it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, y'all living in this big ass house, you got the pool in the back and all this type mm-hmm. shit, and everywhere they go, they protect it.
Right.
So they're just kind of like, all right, well, whatever. When you were coming up, you had to put work in. As far as Tony had to put work in.
Literally, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To become the boss that he is. And now you got this kid, and it's like, in your eyes, he's pampered. He's got everything, you know, and all this type of shit. And you don't understand with the things that where this money has taken you, your kids, that hunger's not there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
When it comes, there ain't no need for it to be there.
Yeah. You look at Marcus Jordan, it's like, fuck, you got to work hard for it. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, I got everything.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? I've never had to scrape a couple of dollars up just to get some Jordans. I get them for free.
Yeah, exactly. Now, like I say, now sometimes we have seen where the shit flips. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Where you have, I would say that Klay Thompson was better than Michael Thompson. But the crazy thing with them, but the crazy thing about that is his brother's a major league baseball player.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but then look at Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's I was getting there.
Steph is
fucking superior over his fucking dad.
Yeah, but
I think his brother's probably right there with him. I think Dale and Seth is kind of like right there. I think they kind of.
Oh, you saying Dale and Seth? Okay, yeah.
Seth and Dale. You know,
and what was crazy about that was Seth was the man in college, bro. I think he was at Duke ball. No, he was at Duke balling.
Well, he went to junior college first. No, well, either junior college or he was at a small school.
He was at Duke. He was going crazy.
Yeah.
And remember, Steph was at Davidson. Like nobody was knowing who this nigga was for real.
Yeah, and then you look at Kyrie Irving. Like Kyrie Irving, dad played overseas and shit. He never made it. But made it to the NFL. I mean, NBA.
Yeah.
And that Kyrie's a fucking.
Though. That nigga uncle was, you know what I'm saying, a star too, though.
Yeah. So, and I just think that a lot now, like I say, there are people who break through. Those are people who broke through. But there are some cases where it's like, yo, it's like this money have put you in this place where it's like, you know, another family. I don't know why I didn't think of them. Arch Manning went to the league. Made a lot of money. Eli and Peyton was pampered. But you know what? They put the work in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they both of them end up being better than their dad. So, and I think Tony kind of looked at AJ and was thinking like, well, whether it's football because he wasn't able to make it in football or whether it's you know, because I do think that you do have a point. Maybe he didn't necessarily want him in a life, but I think that he wanted a certain type of masculinity out of AJ that AJ didn't have.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. He definitely wanted him to be a certain way. But at the end of the day, though, you can't really blame AJ for the way he was because Tony wasn't never really around like that.
Yeah. Because Tony's always, you know, either by the bean
or he out fucking on some woman or,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? All that weird shit. Like, speaking of, bro, this nigga is in the Hall of Fame for side chicks.
Yo, let me tell you something. The one that had the mental issues.
Yeah. He had, they was bad though. He ain't had no regular side. Listen, this is the thing though, bro. Like, this nigga wife was mid. She was so mid. I get it. Carmella was mid as fuck, bro.
Man, but you gotta understand though, man. He been with Carmella since he was like 17. So.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I get it. But nigga, she was plain old crackers. This nigga wanted some rich. My nigga wanted some rich. She just plain old square ass saltine crackers. That's it, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
She had her moments where she, you know what I'm saying, she looked decent. But nah, like what's old boy Artie, his wife?
Yeah, see Artie go back. Artie, the younger Artie's in the Middlesex and Newark, yeah, because they've been friends since high school and shit.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, like Tony do, like when you're talking about, you know what I'm saying, he had the one chick that barely spoke English. She was the down one that had the cousin with the one leg joint.
Yeah, the one that barely spoke English, but ooh-wee.
Yeah, yeah. And and Tony ended up, you know what I'm saying, knocking down the one legged cousin or whatever she was.
That was a cousin, that was crazy.
Yeah, man, fuck that shit.
When he went to her house to see who she was, why she was telling and shit, and she came out with the crutches, I'm like, fam, come on, bro. That's wild.
Yo, no, it was wild that somebody stole a leg. I was saying, because
that's some crazy shit, bro. That nigga was a fucking horn dog, man. But okay, because we gotta get into this, bro.
Okay.
The coma situation.
Oh man, the coma situation was hard as fuck. That was like one of my favorite seasons.
Really? Yes. I hated that shit.
That shit was dope as fuck. Because to me, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. But this is the reason why I fuck with it. Mm-hmm. It's because I have this thing, and I don't know if you ever heard this, but I did an episode years ago on 28 Minutes Less called Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And where, like, I got this thing of, like, you know, dreams and reincarnation, and like it's just a lot of thoughts about just dreams, like where dreams come from, meaning of dreams, and all types of shit like that. And so, like, when Tony was in the coma, you know what I'm saying, like, he was himself, but he was somebody else in his coma, where he had this fucking briefcase and he didn't want to let go of the briefcase and all that type of shit. And then the one crazy part, I ain't gonna drag it out, but like, what really fascinated me about it was just that part of, like, I'm Tony, but everybody thinks I'm this guy. And they're like, yo, you look just like this guy. And then he ended up running to his cousin, Tony,
yeah,
who played by Steve. Yeah, you stupid. So Steve Buscemi played Tony, his cousin.
Shout out to Steve Buscemi, too, because I didn't know that he was a producer on this.
Yeah. Steve's that guy. And so, yeah, and then that's another thing of, like, you know, family members killing family members and shit. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, it goes back to the Many Saints. But anyway, so he's like, he's going to this party. And now maybe you're talking about the other parts. I don't know which part you're saying dragging out, but like, no, I just thought it was interesting.
The whole part of him being in the coma, they just dragged it out.
So I thought it was interesting how they end up doing it, where he went to this party he was supposed to go to, and he sees his cousin, and he's asking him for the briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
But Tony Soprano do not want to let go of this briefcase.
Because he kept saying something don't feel right.
Yeah. And so he knew if he gave him the suitcase and walked through that door, yeah, he was going to die.
No, let me tell you what was so interesting about that. Because at first, when you see, because remember, they kept showing you a visual of the doorway, right? And the visual of the doorway was so interesting to me because he seen somebody walk into the doorway. And we never see who that person is. We just see a woman walk through the doorway. And her walking through that doorway, he goes up, he's about to walk through, and then he hears a young Meadows voice, which I thought was very interesting. Because Meadow, of course, was saying everything or whatever. Like, he could, so it was letting you know he could still hear everybody that was out there. He just, of course, you know, Sam was unconscious at the moment. So he hears Meadow's voice and he stopped and he like, yo, what the fuck was that? And he like, you know, he don't even acknowledge it. And then he hears it again, but this time when they show the doorway, if you really pay attention, it started brightening up like the white light. And I think that's what was definitely keeping him away from me. That's why he was like, yeah, nah, I don't think I'm gonna do that. And then that's when he ends up coming too.
Yeah, waking up.
Yeah. But I mean, I just feel like that could have been like him being in a coma, that could have been shorter. Because like him, the dream he was having or whatever, it had no connection to nothing. Like, no, what was the point of him being Kevin Finnerty in that dream?
I think that it was just messaging, like, from the other side in a way of, like, I mean, obviously, like, I mean, I guess I should have did some research on it of, like, I'm pretty sure there were people who came back from comas and kind of told people, like, yo, like, in my coma, I was dreaming this, or, you know, whatever the case may be, or maybe some people that went in comas felt like they was on the other side, or whatever the case may be. But, like, I just think that the route that they took, I just thought that it was interesting. Because it's like, it's you, but you're not you.
It didn't make sense, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, I could understand if it was connected to something, or he, when he woke up, like, that, you know what I'm saying? Like, he changed his ways. It just, to me, I feel like they didn't have nothing to put in these episodes, and so they just made that shit filler. Because you got to remember what's going on around this situation too. So he's in the coma, right?
Yeah, because Junior shot him.
Junior shot him. So now Junior,
okay. Yeah. Pop up. Accident? Do you think it was dementia? Accident on purpose? What?
Okay, so at first I didn't think so. At first I'm like, this was, oh, I'm sorry. At first I did think so, with him getting shot on purpose. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
At first I think that he was trying to shoot him on purpose because he like, yo, I don't fuck with, like, you could tell Junior never fucked with Tony.
Yeah.
This was an opportunity for him to fuck with Tony, right? And the whole time Tony was there, Tony kept, like, he'd say something. He was like, who's there? And he'd be like, Pussy Malaga or something. And then he'd be like, yeah, Artie something. Yeah, it's me. I'll be down here waiting on you. So he was fucking with him the whole time. So when he came down there and shot him, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, nigga, he gonna use this as an excuse. But the more and more you watch the season, you realize, oh, no, this motherfucker really going through dementia.
Yeah. Because
when Janice came up there, he was talking to Janice, and Janice had mentioned, you know, the baby that she had, and he called the baby Janice.
Yeah, and talking about, you know, how she turned the stove on and
yeah, and put it out all of the shit. Right. So yeah. Nah, at first I was like, yo, he tried to get rid of this nigga, but then I thought about it, the more and more I watched it, I'm like, oh no, nah, like he really didn't know that nigga, that was his nephew. Because remember when Tony came there, he talked to him or whatever, he was asking him about the stash, and then he was like, you don't even have no idea what the fuck I'm saying, do you? He was just like, nah.
Yeah.
And then he was like, he said the quote or whatever, and then he was like, we was a part of that? He was like, yeah, you and my dad, y'all ran New Jersey. He was like, oh. He was like, that's good. So yeah, you could tell that he was just out of it. It was his time to go anyway. He shouldn't have been a part of it, no way. He's too fucking old to begin with. He was all right, like I said, he was already 90 years old when this shit started. So I can imagine, you know what I'm saying, how worse and worse he got as time went on.
But back to the coma.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it didn't have no connection to any of the shit that was either happening or had happened. Right, so Junior get caught, he go to jail, he get locked up. Polly and who was that? Vito, Polly and Vito,
Sivio
and Vito had ended up basically running the play and with the it was Mexicans or Puerto Ricans, one of them, and got their money. So now they got like a million or something, just, you know what I'm saying, on the cut. And then Bobby is going through something. What's his name? Hold on. No, Silvio was leading everything at the time. He was the next man up.
Yeah.
And it was Pauly and Vito. Remember, because Vito gave Pauly the information and they went to the place to go. I think him and it wasn't Bobby or somebody else, but him and so they went to go get the money from them.
So this is before Vito took off and they knew that he was gay before he got caught. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Giving yeah. Dome and parking
Vito
lot.
Got caught later on.
Okay, yeah.
But remember in the hospital when Finn came back, Phineas, when he came back, remember Vito was hitting on him.
That's right.
He started rubbing his arm when Meadow was coming to get him. So anyway, Silvio was leading everything. He ended up having an asthma attack and being taken to the hospital. So now he down, and that's when Vito was like, yo, this is my chance to be the next man up, just in case don't none of them take it. So he started trying to plant seeds and shit in everybody's ear. And then when Tony finally came to, remember Silvio was like, fuck. And then it was a situation with AJ. He was going through whatever he was going through while he was there. It was just a bunch of shit going on. And this shit didn't have like no connection to nothing.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I think that, so in this point, like I say, this is early mid-2000s. Yeah. And I think that when it comes to comas, I think what they was trying to do was, you know what I'm saying, enter a lane of like, I've never seen anything in a movie or a show where I've seen movies or a show where somebody was in a coma, but they mm-hmm. never, like, we kind of went over like what maybe they were experiencing during that coma.
I think that's why
I thought that was interesting, because the fact of we never get the other side. We mm-hmm. never get, all we get is the person laying in the bed, just basically dreaming. But I feel like
it would have been better if they would have just did that.
See, I understand your filler point, but I just think that maybe that's just us having different interests, because I think that it's because I just got this. I don't know what it is, man. It's just, I always feel like it's something, there's a reason why, like, either some dreams stick with you or, you know, things like that. And it like shit like that interests me. And I don't know why.
But I'm saying, like, did you, maybe I missed it. Did they bring it back up at any point in time? Or
Tony, he brought it up to, I can't remember exactly who he brought it up to.
Mm-hmm.
But he, it might have been his therapist. I can't remember.
Like, did he speak about it?
No.
I totally admit. That's what I'm saying. Like, to me, I just felt like there was no point in even doing that, because, like, what the fuck did that have to do with anything in the show?
No, he brought it up to somebody. I can't mm-hmm. remember. It might have been Pauly,
mm-hmm.
where he was saying something about, yo, if I would have gave them the briefcase, it would have been over. Mm-hmm. He felt that he would have died. But he did bring it to somebody.
Yeah.
He did bring it up. But what I want to get to, because we, you know what I'm saying, we over an hour in, we got to get to, you know what I'm saying? So they get to the war, you know what I'm saying, the end part of the second part of season six. Mm-hmm. And so they in a war with Phil and all this type shit. So they hiding out and everything. But the whole war part goes down, but we got to get into the ending, because there's a lot of people feel away. Now, before I get there, I should have looked it up, but if I'm not mistaken, that booth that Tony, AJ, and Camilla was sitting in, it mm-hmm. sold on like eBay or some fucking shit for like $58,000 or some fucking shit. Like, something stupid as fuck. So somebody just got that booth just sitting in a fucking living room or whatever.
You talking about the prop. Okay. I was about to say, like, who the fuck is selling booths? Restaurants,
they took that booth out of the restaurant and they fucking mm-hmm. sold it on something, and somebody bought that shit. That's stupid.
That's just like the people who was looking for the restaurant and
Pulp Fiction?
In fucking oh my god, why am I blanking today? Yeah, Pulp Fiction. Okay, they thought it was a real restaurant and they was looking for that shit.
But if anybody ever seen this, you know, the Tony gets to the restaurant, he's sitting there, Carmilla comes in, then you know,
no, AJ he met Carmilla comes, there, remember?
No, Tony got there first. Tony was the first.
Because remember they was talking, and then he was like, that's because he went to go see Junior.
Yeah, he went to see Junior, and then when he got there, he was there by himself.
Oh, so he Tony was
sat there, by himself. Remember, he played the song Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there, Carmilla comes in, you know, people coming in. And then this is the thing. The suspicious guy came in right in front of AJ, but he noticed AJ. He didn't really notice the guy.
The dude, right.
So the dude goes, sits down at the bar, then they bring out the onion rings. Now, while they're sitting there, non-parking-ass Mello is out there struggling in the Lexus. She can't parallel park to save her life.
Man.
And so she's out there forever trying to fucking park the damn car. So then once she finally gets it in there after like 7 tries, so she goes and she's running across the street. Now, the guy that walked in front of AJ,
goes to the bathroom.
Now, Tony kind of peeks at him, but kind of brushes it off. So you hear the door open, and the door is Mello coming through the restaurant.
Right.
And then it's total blackness. Light. For like 10 seconds, and then the end credits come. How do you feel about the season, the season finale for The Sopranos ending that way? After, now, I should have led this up a little better. I just butchered this. The war was supposedly over, but somebody got the drop on Phil at a fucking gas station.
Kill Phil,
and then wife gets out the car and left the bitch in drive.
Run his fucking face over, bro.
Yeah. Black dude just looking at like, oh, and then the one black dude threw up.
Crazy.
So then all that happens, and then, like I said, screen goes black. For it to end the way it ends, because obviously they left it open to the public to make their observation on what happens. So first I want to hear your thoughts on the internet way, and then I want to hear what you think happened.
I mean, that's ending it that way. To me, it, once again, it didn't make, that's what I'm saying about this season. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense at all.
Okay.
A lot of this shit in this season didn't make sense. But that specifically didn't make sense to me. Because it's like, okay, we see her run into the door, and then they go blank. And it's just sitting there. Ain't no other sounds, no nothing. It's just that. So, to me, I just felt like, nigga, that was it. They ate at the fucking diner. I don't think dude did nothing. I don't think he was a part of none of that shit. Only because, remember, they're still trying to get Tony Soprano. Like, the feds were trying to get Tony Soprano. Because throughout that season, they showed a lot more of the feds, you know what I'm saying, surveying them and doing all that shit. So I feel like with Phil, because Phil was, that motherfucker was a ghost. At some point in time, they couldn't get to him for shit.
Well, after he got out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They just couldn't get to him. And then next thing you know, like, he got Bobby killed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a bunch of shit was just happening with him. He was just getting people off. I don't think that. I just think that they just went and ate.
So you think that they tried, as far as, like, cinematography wise, to make it look like the dude was suspicious, but he was just a regular fucking customer?
Absolutely. I think with that show, because of the way the you know what I'm saying, the way that everybody was so in love with that show, to to end it any kind of way is going to be either a stain or a gold mark on that legacy. So to end it that way, you don't have to worry about none of that shit. You don't have to worry about people not liking it, not fucking with it, because we've seen what happened with Game of Thrones. They ended Game of Thrones, and these niggas still talking about that shit to this day. So with Sopranos, it's pretty much left up to you. Either you want Tony to die, or you want him to continue living. It's on you. It ain't nothing else, you know what I'm saying? It ain't no other thing for you to juggle. Like, it's either you think he dead or you don't.
I think
leave it up to the, you know what I'm saying, the viewer.
And the reason why I personally think they left it up to the viewer, and this goes back to my most intriguing character on TV, is the fact of Tony Soprano, at the end of the day, depending on how you view life, as a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But with him being a bad guy, you root for him.
Yeah.
You want, even though you like, man, he's cheating on Carmella, or he talked to his friends like shit, or he's not being a good father, or whatever the case is, you always kind of end up rooting for him.
Because he always end up doing some. Well, I feel like you do that anyway, just the fact of when you first see him in this show, he's in therapy.
Yeah. And then even after he killed Christopher, even you said it. You're like, yeah, but Christopher kind of deserved it. It's
yeah,
like,
why the fuck
even
you
though,
pick me up while you high?
Yeah, but then not only that, like you kill your cousin, who you were super close with, his fucking dad and shit. Mm-hmm. And you gave him chance after chance after chance after chance.
Mm-hmm.
But so when he kills him, even though, two things with that death. One, like you said, like, you know, him being high and all that type of shit, and Christopher should know better,
mm-hmm.
to do that in the first place. But then at the same time, he's suffering, kind of like you see like a deer, You see a deer suffering after you hit it. A lot of the times, you kill the deer so it don't suffer.
No, it wasn't the fact that he was suffering. It was the fact that, motherfucker, you just crashed this fucking car and almost killed us. Then when he seen that baby seat fucked up, that's when it was like, yeah, I got to get this motherfucker out of
here. Yeah, like you're going to end up killing your baby.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, even though he kills somebody, it's like,
necessary, though.
That's what I'm saying. So I think they left it up for.
Because you're making this point, this is a good place to ask this question. Well, how do you feel about Vito getting hit then?
The thing about Vito is, when you think about the time period, mm-hmm. now, what y'all got to understand is this is 99 to 2007. We're mm-hmm. not in this LGBTQ+
right.
thing that we in now. This shit was in that time frame, and those type of people in the business mm-hmm. they was in,
yeah,
that shit was completely unacceptable. Right. And if y'all, well, let me say what I'm saying. Maybe people haven't seen it. Vito was gay. And so, closeted gay. So it's kind of like the way they looked at that shit, they was like, yo, like that is like, we don't do that. That's not acceptable. That ain't in our business. Like I said, that's another situation where they looked at people who were in therapy, they looked at them as weak. They looked at, people who were gay were weak and all this type of shit like that. But then also Vito took off for a while, completely left his family, and then everybody else had to kind of chip in to take care of the family and shit. But take Vito out, because the way they look at it, like, if you're living two lives, like, but then, like I say, the way that they view people who were, who were gay, were like, yo, you're probably easy to be flipped. Like, if the feds get a hold of you,
yeah,
we feel like you're quote unquote weaker and you're easier to be flipped than to giving all of us up.
So do you think it was necessary though?
I think that Vito there were some tendencies of Vito where I think that Vito would have snatched.
I'm gonna tell you why I agree with you, and I think it was very necessary for Vito to get the fuck out of there. The main one, remember when he was in that coma, because we just talked about it, when he was in that motherfucking coma, Vito was going around talking about, you know, we got to find somebody who's next up. I mean, since I've lost the weight, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I should be the one, you know what I mean? Longevity, and he was talking about this other weird shit. When Bobby came back and was like, hey, you know what I'm saying? The skip is up. Like, he back, he conscious. Vito had that look on his face, and the boy he was talking to kind of looked at him like, yeah, motherfucker, something about you ain't right. Then, you know what I'm saying? He was doing a whole bunch of weird, sneaky shit. So remember, he kept trying to force Polly to get the money to Carmella. And that at that time, when Tony had came back to him, and Polly had dropped the money off to Carmella. And remember, Carmella was walking off and they was going back to the elevator. Carmella was about to go around the corner, and then she looked back and she seen them get on the elevator, and she seen the look on their faces when they got on that elevator, and she knew something was up. So I feel like Vito could have possibly not just flipped, he could have tried to do some shit to fucking to get Tony up out of there. Like, if it would have been some shit to where they would have offered him some shit, like another family would have offered him some shit, he'd have flipped. He'd have definitely traded on Tony for sure.
But then at the same time, this dude is willing to just leave his family behind.
That's my point. That's what I'm saying. He was a scumbag, bro. You can't trust that. You can't trust that motherfucker, man.
It started the whole
gay shit aside. Like, we could throw the gay shit out of there. Because to me, that was just, you know what I'm saying, what it was. But just the way that he was being shown, because remember, like, when he was sitting in the house and he had called who the fuck did he call over there? I think it was Bobby. He called Bobby over there. Remember, he was eating the carrots, all mad and shit. You know what I'm saying? He called Bobby over there, and Bobby like, hey man, like, nigga, you know, these cuts, this shit ain't, no, that was, Bobby was talking to Silvio. That's when Silvio went down. He was eating the carrots and fucking, damn, what happened? Somebody came to the house and he was trying to set some shit up then. But yeah, I didn't like his character at all.
I tell you, the one thing that I really fought with Tony and Bobby about is the fact of when they got into that fight, when he was talking to his sister, Greasy, and he fought him straight up. And there's not a lot of movies where you see the bosses get into a fight where the other guy let the boss win. You see a lot of situations where they are playing chess or cards or anything, and it's like the boss always win. Mm-hmm. Like, no, Bobby went in on fucking Tony ass. Like, well, that was a pretty even fight.
In that moment, this ain't the mafia boss, nigga. This is my brother-in-law.
Yeah. But yeah, like, dude, you talking to your sister crazy. Janice was a piece of shit, but Tony did talk to his sister reckless, though. Like, he used to fucking go in on his sister.
She deserved everything. She should have got whacked.
Janice was a piece of shit. Like, Janice completely left her fucking son, like, in, like, Canada or some fucking shit like this.
Nigga,
like,
she was trying to get her mom so she could get the money.
Yeah, like, she was trying to get the money out of mom, out of fucking Junior. Like, Janice was about that paper. Janice didn't give a fuck about nobody but the paper. That was the only reason why she wanted to keep Bobby kids in the end. I think she just wanted to get money out of them motherfuckers.
Because she knew that the family was gonna take care of them and hit her off.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, like, it's still like a way of like I could never speak to my sister in any shape or form the way that Tony spoke to his sister. You know what I mean?
Like Janice, you could.
Man, I think I'll find another way. Like, nah, I just put a foot with your head. Like, it just,
gotta,
I don't know, man.
That's what I'm saying. You got to remember, bro. Like, you got to remember who they are and, like, the shit that they around and what they, you know, so, like, the shit that they do. Yeah, nah, get Janice the fuck out of here, bro.
No, get his mom the fuck out of here. I was so happy her when she died.
She, and the crazy part was she was just like her mama.
She was, dude. You wait till you watch Many Saints, dude. Like,
I can't wait, bro. I'm gonna watch
it. Did you know who they got to play her mom in Many Saints? My God. Who? Fucking Vera Farmiga, man. I'm like, why did y'all do this to me? I love Vera Farmiga, man. Why y'all make me hate this woman?
Yeah.
Why? I love Vera. But y'all gonna make her play Tony Soprano's mom? Like, come on, man. I hate that character.
Yeah.
I hated her character. She was the biggest woe is me person ever. Like,
so was Janice.
I mean, Janice was too.
That's why I said she ended up being her mom. Remember, because when after Bobby died, and they were sitting on the patio talking about. She was talking about.
I did a thing
with Sophia, and we baked a lot, and I built a relationship with. I'm like, man, I can't stand this motherfucker, bro. She went there and gave Uncle Junior that picture. She was like, yeah, Uncle Junior. I don't care for Janice, bro. Janice got hit by a car, and that would have been great.
Yeah, I never fought with Janice. I never fought with Janice or his mom. And I think that, you know, when you think about the therapy that Tony was in, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? With, you know, the relationship that he had with his mom, the relationship they had with his sister. The younger sister was fucking out of here.
No, she was straight.
Yeah, she only showed up when somebody died. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? She had her own life. She didn't get involved in none of this fucking shit. But, like, every other, like, female relationship in Tony's life, all fucked up.
Yeah.
Even the fine ass fucking mental case that he dealt with,
mm-hmm.
who tried to fucking kill his ass. She threw did she throw a knife in his ass or some shit?
Now she threw a plate in the nigga head.
Yeah, and then
that shit was hilarious, man. That nigga said, bitch, you threw a whole fucking dish at my head.
Wasn't it like roast beef or some fucking shit or something?
He made some shit and then she did not fuck with that nigga after that, bro.
Hey,
but no, oh girl, they got burnt up, bro.
Yeah.
Hey. Hey, I'm not laughing at her getting burnt up. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm laughing at the fact that, nigga, after she healed up, nigga, she done went through everything, bro. This nigga came in and broke up with her, bro. She was in the background crying. This nigga had to take a phone call, bro. She was crying through that whole shit. That shit was funny as fuck to me, bro. She said, what, you don't want me because I'm ugly now? He was like, no. He was like, look at my wife. Like, what are you talking about? This ain't got nothing to do with the fire. He was like, I still would have been with you with the fire, but I'm just getting back on my wife. She was over. Ah. That shit was funny as fuck. That was wild ass timing though.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. That's crazy. But okay, last thing that we out here.
Yeah.
Yo, do you think as fine as she was,
mm-hmm.
the crazy girl? Do you think he had to kill her?
Yes.
Okay.
What didn't she blame?
She threatened.
You know what I'm saying? Didn't she blame like his ex or something for slashing tires or some shit like that? Like it was
When she did this shit, like she fucking gave Camilla, she sold Camilla a car and shit.
Nigga drove her home.
Give her a ride. Yeah, gave her a ride and all types of shit.
That ain't even a game we about to play. You out of here. Sorry. You got to go. Cause you ain't too deep at this point. Cause
Then she threatened to talk. Then she threatened to talk too. So
That's what I'm saying. We gotta get her. Yeah, she had to go, bro. I don't care how fine you are, you're not about to ruin the shit that I got going on. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
Yeah. So let's go ahead, man. Let's get into it, man. Fire flames. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Yoga fire. Yoga flame.
All right, man. What you giving it?
All right, five. What you got?
Damn. I'm not gonna lie, bro. I have to agree with you, man. Five. For them to put this type of in-depth show together. And once again, I think the show is genius because you don't understand, like, if you're just watching this on surface level, you think this is just like a crime mafia show, and that's not what this is. This, once again, the show is about the Soprano family, and because it is about that, right, it's pretty much, they have to show the shit going on in the mafia, and they have to show him, you know what I'm saying, sleeping with everybody else, so you can understand why it's so many problems in his family, and why it's so many problems, not just in his actual family, but the crime family, the Soprano crime family. And so I think the show is so layered. That's what makes this show so great, because to be able to put all of this together and to have somebody like James Gandolfini put on this type of performance, you know what I'm saying? What's her name? Eddie Falco or Edie Falco. She does a great job playing Carmela. Like, for her to be able to play this role and to be the wife of this guy who's, you know what I'm saying, dealing with all of this shit, it was just great, man. Everything about this show was fantastic. I mean, me personally, I'm not really into, like, I don't really care for the Godfathers and the Goodfellas and all that shit. Casino is my joint, but, like, the rest of that shit, if it come on, I can watch it, but it's not something I'm going to go to. This is one of them ones, like, if you want to just binge a show, I can go to it because it has so many layers to it. It's such a dynamic show. So, yeah, I'm going to agree. 5.
What's up?
So, let's do it, man. Coming soon.
Let's do it.
Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
All right, man. So the next one we got is the new rendition of Roadhouse. Be honest with you, I don't know what the fuck this is about. I don't know what this has to do with anything. But, you know what I'm saying? You've been on my head about this today. You know what I'm saying? You like, hey, man, we got to get on this Roadhouse. It's real good. My brother called me. He was on my head about it. He got mad at me because I haven't seen the first one. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to see how this goes. And we'll let you know in the next episode, man.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it, man. I watched it this past weekend. So
okay. Okay.
Yeah. You're going to get something. A kick out of it.
We'll see you on the next episode then. man, listen, if you guys like the Sopranos, if you didn't like the Sopranos, if you too feel like Janice should have got hit by a car, to just Tony should have found a way to get her whacked, maybe Bobby should have got her whacked, hit us up, let us know in the socials, man. Instagram and Twitter at VO9Pod, on Facebook, VA Pod Watch Group. You can always comment on the episodes on YouTube. And listen, if you guys want to hear more, if you guys enjoy the show and you want to just hear us talk about some other things revolving around Hollywood and film and television, then sign up for our Patreon. The link is in the description. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and join up, man. We got some good stuff coming. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be very interesting with these next few episodes that we got coming out. The last one was the JFK conspiracy. I felt like that was a great episode. So y'all go check that out. We got a bunch of other episodes in there. if you want to follow me, hit me up on Twitter at Scoots Bronson. I got a link to my bio. You can find me everywhere else there.
Yeah, y'all can find me at S.Foster8 on Instagram and Twitter, X and TikTok, where y'all can find the videos. For some odd reason, our last video got flagged sound on TikTok on the JFK joint. I don't know why.
But, I was playing. I tried to tell you, man.
I mean, if y'all want to see the clip, it's still on YouTube and it's on Facebook, but for some odd reason, TikTok, they flagged it when we talked to, I don't know if you know which one it is, because I put out two. I did the one about the first ladies, and then the other one was about when you said, well, Secret Service heard a gunshot, and then they turned around and just shot, and I was like, yo, It was what we disagreed with. I was like, I don't see them just turn around and just shoot. Yeah, the sound is gone.
Yeah.
So anyway, y'all can find clips and all types of shit like that there on the TikTok page. Y'all can at 28 Minutes or Less Pod, you can find that on IG. Follow the podcast, 28 Minutes or Less, is on all major platforms. My guy Scoops jumped on with me, man. We had to get into the music world. We don't just talk movies. We got into this Drake, Future, Kendrick, J. Cole, Metro Boomin. I wish we would have got into the we didn't really get into the raw shit, but I've been hearing some pods. Yeah, it was a little bit later where the raw stuff ended up coming out. But anyway, we got into that whole little discussion. And we got into some Wale shit. Like, we got into a lot of shit, man. A lot of music heavy. That was episode 149, if I'm not mistaken. I named it The Heat Is On. You know what I'm saying? Scoots came on with me. I appreciate you for doing that. And that's all I got, man.
Cool. Man, I wish I had that fucking clip from The Incredibles, bro. Where that nigga had to, Mr. Incredible had to go to the school. No, I think it was Mrs. Incredible. She had to go to the school because that nigga Dash was putting tacks on the teacher's chair. And that nigga was like, he's there and then he's not there. Coincidence? I think not. I wish I had that fucking clip, bro. When we was talking about that shit, silence, I mean, get muted. That video get muted. That shit would have been perfect. But
so, hey, we got a comment. We got a comment on the video about the first lady, right? Where when you said Hillary Clinton back then, you said she looked tight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the comment says, "Blind or stupid?" Question mark. Hillary was a -2. All day big ass glasses, bullshit attitude, ugly ass woman. This was from Southern Marine technician.
Salute to you, sir. Salute to you, ma'am, or whoever you are. But yeah, I didn't say nothing about her intelligence. I was just saying she looked all right. So, respect though. I mean, I feel it. Do you know what I'm saying? You got every right to feel like, you know.
Hey, I just sent them 3 laugh emojis.
Yeah. If the first ladies was a roster, bro, that's not a good roster.
No, it's not.
That's not really a good not. It ain't too many decent first ladies. Granted, they older, but still, nah.
Yeah.
Like, the top three is easily Michelle Obama, Trump wife. I forgot they were Ivanka.
Yeah, Ivanka.
Yeah, Ivanka, Trump, and Hillary Clinton, easily.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny.
Yeah. I mean, I get why they was calling Jackie O pretty, though, compared to, like, all the other wives. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It makes sense, but... No, she's not though. She don't. That's hilarious. Anyway, we're gonna quit talking about that shit for this one getting muted too. So, so listen, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for watching, man. You know what I'm saying? Your support is greatly appreciated. Remember, without you, there could be no us. And until the next episode, man, like they say in Hollywood, that's a wrap.
Cut.